we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm your host. I also pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're going to be spending the next half hour together as you are on your morning commute, and I will be on my morning commute here on my way to a meeting today. So it's going to be a little bit of a different Thursday for me. But I pray that you are going to have a great and awesome day. We're going to be spending some time here talking about the Word of God. We just finished on yesterday's broadcast about the fruit of the Spirit, and that against such there is no law. Aren't you thankful? With all of the laws on the books that tell you what you can't do, aren't you thankful that there are things that God has said there is no one on planet Earth that can prevent you from doing these things? These are the fruit of the Spirit. They occur in the lives of believers that abide in the Holy Spirit of God. And so I pray that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are absolutely abounding in your life. Now, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit for so long that you may have forgotten that we're actually talking about this progressive relationship that we have with God. And I'm not going to go back all through all of the various steps in Galatians, but here in chapter 5, it tells us that in verse number 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 5, that it's through the Spirit that we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, and that it is faith working through love. In verse number 16, it says that we are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that the flesh and the lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another. They are incompatible. They don't play well together. They don't congeal together. Please don't take that as a literal, they don't play well together. It's not a game. It was just an expression, okay? It's Thursday. We're getting close to the end of the week here. Let's look at the principle. And so don't write me any nasty emails or anything like that. It was just an expression. Okay. And verse number 18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And now we haven't come to the end of the story. We have just begun to break ground on this next step, which is also found in chapter 5. So let me go back and read the fruit of the Spirit for you one more time, and then I'm going to continue reading on down through the end of chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, as in possessive, C-H-R-I-S-T, apostrophe S, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So, we've talked yesterday about against such there is no law. Today it says, and those who belong to Christ, those who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When Paul's writing to the Galatians, he doesn't consider it optional whether or not there is going to be war between the Spirit and the flesh. He assumes that it is going to take place, and he presumes that the victor is going to be the Holy Spirit of God. He presumes that it's not just the pastor that is going to get the victory over the passions and the lusts of the flesh, but it is every born-again believer. I think that is awesome. I am so excited about this radio broadcast today. I am stoked about this particular level, or this growth step, if you will, in our relationship with God. And so I want you to know that when you were trapped in your sins, you operated under the lordship of the flesh, or the lordship of the enemy. You were a servant of unrighteousness. But now you operate under the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come in and he has conquered the enemy. It doesn't matter what the law of the land was before a king would come in and conquer it. Once that king came in and conquered a land, there was a new law that was established, and it was the law that that king had put in place. Well, the King of Kings has put in place the law of life. Where sin leads to death, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and my life, it results in life. But in order to get to that process, in order to get to that level of operating in resurrection power, it says here in verse number 24 that we have to have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That involves a nailing to the cross. That's what crucifixion was. It was something that was nailed to the cross. It was taken from a position of being able to be mobile throughout a community, and now it is fixed in place. It is there. It's got a death sentence upon it. And I hope that you are not at a stage in your life, and that I'm not at a stage in my life, where we are giving life support to sins and passions and lusts and desires that God had wanted us to crucify. You know, in the Old Testament, Saul was a king, and Samuel had given him an order, and Saul didn't execute that order exactly the way that it was supposed to, that he was supposed to. And he said, "Why have you let a person live that God had determined that they should die?" Now, if you bring that into the New Testament, it is not people, it's our carnal nature. And God wants us to nail that to the cross. You see, the only door that gets you from the normalcy of life, the complacency of life, the routine of life, the only portal that will get you from there to resurrection life is through the identification of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't go nailing ourselves to the cross literally, like some people around the world are known to do. Instead, it is our passions and our lusts that are motivated by the flesh. Those are the things that have to be crucified. Please do not miss this step, because it is absolutely vital to set you up for this next stage of victory. Okay? By the way, don't miss today's broadcast. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. They are actually what launched us into this place, into this study in the very first place. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, they were revolutionary for me last year. Okay? And so the crucifixion of the flesh is done so that we can live by the Spirit. Now, the scripture says, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to turn over there just a second. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So it says here that it is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies. It will give life to our mortal bodies. This Spirit-led life is where it talks about in Galatians chapter 5. It says, if we live in the Spirit. Now, that question that is there, there is an assumed answer on the part of believers that the answer is yes, that we live in the Spirit. And so there is a full life of fellowship. There's a full life of relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and believers. You and I have been sentenced to life, not life in prison. We have been sentenced to life, abundant life, full life, life to the uttermost. With that being said, I have my sights set on not just existing, not just getting up and taking nourishment and getting a little bit of exercise and talking. I tell you, the last few months of ministry have been absolutely wonderful, because we are getting to speak into people's lives, and the Word of God is going forth and changing hearts. The Spirit of God is quickening people and transforming people in such a way that they are taking notice and that other people are taking notice. It is wonderful. You and I, we need to be willing to share his cross so that we can partake and share of his life. He has got a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. You were created for such a time as this. So in verse number 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So it is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. So we are led, this lifestyle in the Spirit, we are no longer directed and controlled and, we're no longer led around like prisoners by our carnal nature. We are now led by the Spirit of God. And some people will utilize that. Some people have taken that to think that they're going to be led to be doing some unusual stuff, some awkward stuff. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has led me on many endeavors, but it's always been an endeavor that has a divine purpose. So when the Holy Spirit came and got Philip and brought him from a revival down into the desert, it was there that he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch, because that Ethiopian eunuch was going to go back and he was going to transform a nation. It might have been out of the norm, but it had a redemptive purpose. And so I want to ask you to evaluate the things that you're being directed to do, because the Holy Spirit will never direct you to violate the Word of God. Okay? He's never going to say, don't do this in the Scriptures, and then to you personally, he's never going to lead you and say, well, you do this. If you are being directed to violate scriptural principles, you are not being led by the Spirit of God. You may be being led by a spirit, but it's either your spirit or a demonic spirit, and you don't want to do either one of those. And so it says, the sons of God are not in rebellion. They are following in faithful obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. There are so many people. I meet so many Christians that are led by inferior directors, if I can say that. Their emotions, they're led by their circumstances. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. You want to be led by the Spirit of God, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, there is life. Let me take you over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, the Holy Spirit comes to guide us into all truth. Look at verse number 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is freedom. It is not a freedom to go and do as we please. That's the old nature. That's the carnal nature. Now we are set free from that ungodly leadership, that ungodly drive that was in there because of our sin. Now we have been set free from the prison cell so that we can be led by the Spirit of God. So as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, so that the Spirit of the Lord will transform us from glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. That's so exciting. You are meant to live by the Spirit. You know, I can't help but think about my mother here just a few weeks ago, and how close that she came to dying. Now you have to understand, this is not my first rodeo. This is not my first bout where a loved one has been at the threshold of death that they said they're not going to survive. And one of them survived about 8 months longer. Another one survived 4.5 years. Another one survived 5 years. So I'm kind of used to God stepping in very dire circumstances. But when my mother was there, I found out that someone had shared some news to try and let her know there was a reason to live. Today, I don't know who's listening. I really don't. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this, that when the sun arose this morning, that God intends for you to live. Live by the Holy Spirit. You may have thought that your purpose is over, that your glory days are behind you, that God doesn't have anything more for you to do. I want to let you know today, that is not the case. I know there were times in my life when I was younger, it's like, how in the world do I ever get over this particular situation, over this hurt, over this rejection, over this kind of pain? And I want you to know, the way that you do that is you live by the Spirit of God. You not only walk with the Spirit, you are not only led by the Spirit, you live in the Spirit. You realize that when you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there is life there. There is freedom to go about and experience this transformation. What if I told you that when the Spirit of God came in, he's looking to make the next step of your life more glorious than the past. A lot of times we like to look in the rearview mirror. You know, my face is never going to be wrinkle-free the way that it was when I was younger. No, I'm not going to have plastic surgery. Wrinkles just don't mean that much to me. My hair is never going to be naturally as blonde as it was when I was a teenager. Now it's executive blonde. It's never going to be as curly as it was when I was a teenager, where I had a 6-inch afro going on my head. It's not ever going to be that again. I can promise you that. If you ever see that, you can rest assured somebody has made a large, large pledge to missions. We're talking 5, maybe 6 digits to get me to grow my 6-inch afro out again. I am just here to tell you. All of those things, you know, that you think that that's where the best that it's ever going to be is at. But I'm here to tell you that when the Spirit of God is leading you and you are living in the Spirit, and he directs you to where you see prisoners set free and you see people healed and you see people set free from the bondage of sin and you see marriages restored and relationships restored and people begin to thrive in their relationship with God instead of just exist, I'm telling you, it is glorious. It is not just pastors and preachers that are meant to have this transformation from glory to glory. It is every single believer. God is the ultimate transformer, where he comes in and causes a spiritual metamorphosis in your life that sets you free from the things that anchored you to this earth to where you can soar on the wings of eagles, that you are rejuvenated and refreshed with purpose. I read this the other day, and it talked about David did not perish until he had fulfilled his purpose in his generation. I tell you, I want to live. I want to live in that sort of freedom. I want to experience that kind of power. I want to participate and share in the resurrection life that Jesus has for you and me. I don't want to be going around poor mouthing everything all of the time. I don't want to be complaining and moaning and groaning and all of that and an ache here and a pain there. No, I tell you what, I want to be testifying to the goodness and the greatness of God, where when you think it just can't get any better than this, it gets better than this. You know, there's a saying. It says, boy, if I was doing any better, I would have to sit down. Well, you know what? I'm ready to pull up a chair for better. There are other people that say, man, if it gets any better, I'm just going to find myself in heaven already. Well, I tell you, I'm ready for heaven, but I'm also ready to see a divine invasion, if you will, where heaven comes in and knocks the gates of hell off its hinges and plunders the prisoners that are held bondage and release those who've been held in fear all of their lives. I'm ready to see that sort of glorious. You see, we're getting ready to have our annual business meeting at Merit Assembly of God here in a couple of weeks. A little over a week. And I will tell you, our purpose at Merit Assembly of God is not just to keep the doors open. It's not just to keep the power on. It's not to pay FPL and the water bill and the insurance company and all of that. The thing about Merit Assembly of God is it's not just about me having a place to function. You know why? Because I had a place to function before I came here. Merit Assembly of God existed before we got here. It's because God still has a glorious transformation. There were people when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, which was 70 years long, and they saw the temple that was being built to replace the one that had been burned and destroyed, that they began to cry. And the prophet came along and said, "This is not a day for weeping, for the glory of this temple is going to surpass the glory of that previous temple." And it wasn't because it was going to have more gold and more cedar. It wasn't going to be necessarily more ornate. It wasn't going to be greater because it was a better structure. It was going to be greater because of the presence of God. I want to just invite you today. Join us. Join us. I'm not talking about, I mean, if you join us in a physical location, that's great. I'm talking about wherever you are in Brevard County, being a Bible preaching church, a church that believes that the Spirit of God is still going to do great and mighty things in this community. And let's participate in this Spirit lifestyle. God has delivered you from the death style of sin so that you could have the abundant lifestyle that comes from living by the Spirit of God. It is a great adventure. Your best days are not behind you. They are just ahead. We had a speaker here at church Sunday before last, and he's been a pastor for longer than I've been a pastor. I first met him in Chicago when I was a youth pastor in Chicago. He was already well known then. He traveled the country and preached all over the place and led lots and lots of people. But you know what? He's even though he's older now, he's not one to take his foot off the gas pedal. He's wanting to lead even more people to Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you. Don't settle. Don't be complacent when God has this great adventure of life that is still ahead of you. Have there been hurts and pains and disappointments in the past? If you are human, the answer is probably yes. If it's not, call me. I need to talk to you to see what kind of life you've led, because I want you to teach a workshop. But you know what? I'm so looking forward to what God has in the days ahead and in the days to come, because I know this: as long as you're alive and as long as I'm alive, God has a purpose for us. And in order for us to accomplish that purpose, we need to live in the Spirit of God. I'd much rather live in the Spirit of holiness than I would in a community of unrighteousness. It's a much better lifestyle. I encourage you, won't you join me? Live in the Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Gonna find my peace in you.